Network.
Or on the poster.
The only show in history to be on History of Comedy Network. But I'm actually here because of work I did many, many years ago, Prisoners of Gravity. I'm the only person over 70 in the room. And I was a little embarrassed to be asked again for the third year in a row to host because I feel like all the work was a while ago. But then I found out William Shatner sold a kidney stone for $25,000 and I figured, what the hell, I'm here. I'm honored and delighted to be here. And of course, my co-host is the lovely...
Rob. Hi.
All right, so we got some new awards this year. We'll explain a little bit about that and stuff going on. Do you want to explain the first one, Rob?
No, you got it.
Okay. There's two new fan favorite categories. They're sort of intended to overcome any blind spots in the judges. If they miss anything or they're biased or if the brides get to them in time. And so there's going to be a favorite English and a favorite French Canadian creator award. And that bypasses the judges, puts the voting directly into the hands of the people. And you, the people who voted on the website, which is www.JoeSchusterAwards.com. Judges don't know anything, I know better, you stink.com. So, and apparently it was a busy site, and we'll have those awards this evening. Do you want to explain the next one?
No, you go.
Okay. It's a traditional award, but it's in a non-traditional medium, the Outstanding Web Comic Creator and Creative Team. It's a wildly popular addition to this year's awards. I know you're on screen, and yep, you will be when we come to that. Then it will become wildly popular. And the third one? Okay, and the other really interesting thing that we wanted to mention is that as the Joe Schuster Awards continue to grow in popularity and coast to coast now, we're getting voting coming in from where we've always got voting, but we're also getting voting from non-traditional places. For the first time, we're hearing from all across Canada, from the Yukon to Newfoundland, right across the country, all except Alberta, they can't read. But everybody else is voting.
Yeah.
Why don't you take the rest?
I don't.
You're supposed to. This is Rob Salem, ladies and gentlemen. You see him on
screen. I'm not feeling it.
Sorry?
I'm not feeling it.
Why?
I don't want to seem ungracious because I think it's lovely that they put us on the poster, but I mean, look. Have you looked at that?
Yeah. I look great.
I've met me.
Yeah, it looks just like you.
That's my point. Whatever happened to the heroic ideal? Okay, I mean, you know, look at this guy. People actually had muscles that I think they could not tie their shoes. Okay, I mean, look, Leanna's got breasts up to her eyebrows.
Yeah.
Of course, she really does have breasts up to her eyebrows. But look at you. You have never looked this good in your entire life.
Well, you didn't have to say that. I mean, they didn't drop you with any stink lines or flies or anything.
Well, there's that one big one there. I don't know. I can see a six-pack abs would have been... Okay, maybe I'm being overly sensitive.
No, they gave you the keg instead.
This microphone is not working either. They gave you the shitty microphone. Jeez. I'm kidding. Everyone knows I'm kidding. I warned them ahead of time. I think it's lovely. A cake would have been nice.
Next year.
I'm over it.
Next year, yeah.
I feel much better having gotten that off my cape and chest.
Yeah, knocked it on me.
Yeah. Yes, now, to make... Let's just get down to the business of handing out these lovely awards. Again, for the third year, and I am delighted and honored to be asked back. God knows why. And I think I probably killed that possibility of coming back for a fourth year. To make some announcements regarding the Joe Schuster Awards and our friends south of the 49th parallel, that would be Americans. We're also honored to be joined by one of the legends of the Golden Age of Comics. As a young artist, our first guest created the Joker and gave Robin his name and his costume. That alone will be enough to distinguish him, but a hero's work is never done later on in his career. He was a huge part of the fight to return creative credits for Superman to Jerry Siegel and Joe Schuster. Recently, he supervised the creation of the Bill Finger Writing Awards, named after the unsung writer who helped create Batman. As I pointed out last year, there are some people in this very room who may one day be lucky enough to get the finger. And we got just as big a laugh last year. He is immortalized in the Eisner Hall of Fame and has received the National Cartoonist Society Lifetime Achievement Award. Currently, his collection of original Golden Age artwork entitled The Superhero, the Golden Age of Comic Books, is currently touring across America and worldwide and is making its next stop in, of all places, Cleveland, Ohio. Ladies and gentlemen, citizens, a man who needs no introduction, but I just give him one anyway, Mr. Jerry Robinson.
Well, I want to thank the Canadian Comic Book Association, I think it's officially called. I had the pleasure of being here, I guess it was 3 years ago, when we started the Joe Shuster Awards, Rob Basement, and they invited me out to present the first award, which I was very happy to do. Joe was a very close friend of mine. Worked side by side in DC Comics. At the same time, on the other side of me was Jack Kirby, you might like to know, and on the side of him was Mark Meskin and George Russo's, all these names I don't, you know. Very good. But I want to thank Peter and Tyrone and all the staff at Paradise Comics also, who were instrumental in bringing me here for the convention. And a chance to visit a lot of friends in the cartoon community. I might tell you that Diamond Comics, and Steve Jeffy, who's a good friend of mine, who owns Diamond, reported that the winner of the nomination, the book nomination of the Shuster Awards, when they announced that they have been nominated for Shuster, the sales have been increased. So I hope that encourages all of you. And whenever I had the opportunity to tell them, I went up here and saw the Shusters, so I was able to squeeze that in for a little promotion. I have some crib notes here. Joe and I tell you, just before any of us were married, I'd like to introduce my wife, Gro. A child bride of 50 years together. And she's a psychotherapist, and she's kept me growingly sane. Joe and I used to double date together when we were young. And he was showing Superman, I was showing Batman. And that's the way we were impressed by our dates. In fact, it worked so well, that's when I decided to be a cartoonist. When Joe left for California, he bequeathed me his drawing board, which I treasured all these years. It's an old-fashioned board with a metal tripod base. And that's now with my traveling exhibit, by the way. I was so glad I kept that, because now it's insured for I don't know how much. It's a genuine part of that. Don't throw your drawing boards away. That increase in value. I did, of course, about it for a number of years, and several other features, Black Terror, Frankie Yank, which I did with Mark Neskin and Vigilante, and Johnny Quick. And something I wanted to say about that. But the Joker, of course, is the best one. But I did love other features that didn't make it. And we all have our flops. But one that did run for a little while, we licensed from the movie at the Paramount at the time, Lassie, and I drew Lassie, believe it or not, 2 years. and I really learned to hate that dog. I used to stay awake at night dreaming how not to draw a dog of a shark. Sometimes I'd have him running through a wheat field where you just saw his tail. My last script, I wrote a story, but there was all Lassie did was very boring. Run across fields, there was a fire in a barn, saving a kid falling off a bridge or something. So I decided to write the last episode, and I had a series of fires all over the country, the fields. And I had Lassie running from place to place, seeming to try and put out all these fires. And in the last panel, I revealed that when they found the arsonist, it turned out to be Lassie. I don't know why the editor didn't want to run that. Anybody wants to buy that stuff. I worked with the next person you're going to see for 10 years. I think he goes under the alias of Stan the Man. I worked with Stan about 10 years, many years ago. I'm ties older than most of you in the audience. I worked with him 10 years, and then he was a young man. And now we're going to hear from Stan, he's my age. I stand the old man like I am. So with that, we're going to see some video that Stan has sent us for this occasion. Somebody, that's a cue for somebody. Here we go. That's very unlike Stan.
Lassie did it.
Well, wow, Lassie. You know, the team
of companies and the winners of their tools.
There you go.
Did you say that?
And my heartiest congratulations to all the nominees and the winners of the 20207 joke.
That's my job over there. thought it was an excerpt from Spider-Man 3. I remember Man of Few Words. Welcome to year 3 of the Joe Shuster Canadian Comic Book Creator Awards and to our new location in the King 2 Ballroom, generously arranged through the kind folks at Paradise Toronto Comic Con and Jennifer Watanabe of the Holiday Inn on King. This is the third venue for these awards. Our words in the past, I have no doubt you'll fully agree with this sentiment. Now we're talking it. It's been a wild and interesting ride these past 3 years of the Joe Shuster Awards, and it wouldn't have been possible without the dedicated team of people that make up this association, and who give so much time, so much of theirs, as one member puts it, found time, to this not-for-profit volunteer organization. Tyrone Biljan. Kevin Boyd. And Dave DiRigo and myself were the initial founding fathers of these awards, and while Dave has moved away from the GTA, we still consider him an auxiliary member of the team, and all of us carry on to this day, still fighting the good fight, sometimes with each other, but hey, we're like a dysfunctional family. I'd like to take a moment right now to thank the other members of the Year 3 Organizing Committee, Peter Fisico, Leanna Kay, Steve Berger, Joe Lennon, Jonathan P. Kuhlin, Steve LeBlanc, Vince Marchesano, Paul McCusker, Dave Sim, Ian Sokolowski and Ruth Tate. A graphic extravaganza, to say the least. Much appreciated. And support of our many sponsors, these awards wouldn't exist today. And our thanks go to Aardvark Vanaheim Incorporated, TBC, the Comics Guarantee, Diane Distribution, Lions Head Lakefront Resort and Yacht Club, and everybody go to the Comics Talk in August. Kevin Core World, Sips Comics, the Toronto Star, and Visions of Utopia. We would also like to thank Gene Schuster PV, Warren Perry, and Mike Catron of the Joe Schuster Estate for giving us permission to use the name Joe Schuster Awards. And to anyone else we may have forgotten to thank, please check the third page of the program book, or I'll be up here a lot longer than they'd like me to be. Now, it was always and remains to this day the essential focus of these Comic Book Creator Awards to increase the awareness in this country and around the world of the vast array of talent that Canada has to offer to this wonderful storytelling medium, and to honor the many giants in the industry and groundbreakers that have come out of the great white north. Let's just hope that global warming doesn't change that part. Now, if we brought attention to even one talented creator that you might not have heard of before, or prompted you to pick up a comic or a graphic novel, or to check out a web comic maybe for the first time, or you've learned a bit more about the rich comic creator legacy of this country, then all of this would have been worthwhile, and we've done our jobs. Now, in closing, we'd like to congratulate all the nominees, the Hall of Fame inductees, and winners of awards tonight, and we'd like to send a dedication to a long-term committee member out in Halifax, Phil Ladder, a comic historian and major Zorro fan who is currently suffering with a debilitating condition that prevented him from attending tonight. Get well soon, Phil. Now, I'd like to hand the evening back to Rick and Ross for the presentation of our first award. Thanks very much.
I'm sticking with this one. God knows what mischief I might do to myself with a horrible microphone.
Woohoo! Yes. I don't even want to hold this now after
that. Yeah, no, that's the crappy one. Anyway, when Johann Gutenberg invented the printing press in 1440, it changed the world. Excuse me.
Any second, Stan Lee's going to come up.
It's the ghost of Stan Lee. Yeah, Gutenberg printing press.
You don't even need this. You can hear us, right?
Yeah.
Gutenberg printing press 1440. Pay attention, there'll be a test afterward. Religion and science were both altered forever. Authorship became important. Copyright laws were passed to determine intellectual property rights. And the age of the publishing house was on the horizon.
That's right. Now, the relationship between the comic book publishers and the comic book creators can be described as sometimes a great love affair, sometimes a kind of dysfunctional mutual dependence, and sometimes a Mexican standoff or a death grip on each other with a Vulcan mind melt thrown in there. And since the golden age of comics, the relationships has evolved itself really in sort of two paths. One is the exclusive contracts with job security, and the other is the legal battle over ownership. And that struggle for ownership and rights and creator rights and so on is really embodied by Joe Schuster in the later part of his life. That was one of his great struggles.
Too often, it is easy to demonize publishers. In fact, it's very easy. It has nothing to do with the fangs and the horns. That's it. And one pointy tail. We overlook the importance, by doing so, we overlook the importance of what they do for the medium. In this spirit, we present the first award of the evening, the Joe Schuster Award for Outstanding Canadian Comic Book Publisher. The nominees are...
Do you have the envelope?
Oh, yeah.
All right. We don't have a drum roll. Let's make our own. Everybody turn out. Here we go. Vaughan and Quarterly. McKinney General, Lady Ford.
400 friends. Mr. Comics, Planet Lucy, and Udon.
And the Joe Schuster Award goes to, I've never got to do this before, ever. I'm going to get a paper cut, you know that. And Joe Schuster Award goes to Drawn and Quarterly.
We never opened Happy Harbor with the expectation of ever getting any sort of award or anything. We opened the store basically so that we could afford to buy more stuff. But more importantly, we wanted to do all the things that we weren't getting from the stores that were out there. We wanted to see the events, and we wanted to see the community building, and we wanted to see greater involvement with kids and in schools and everything like that. And we realized the only way to do that was to actually do it ourselves. And that's exactly what I did. And while I tend to come up with more ideas than the average human being should possibly try to take on themselves, I'm very fortunate to have Shauna. To make sure that I eat once in a while, and that the books balance, and that I order all the little things that tend to slide underneath my capes and tights radar. So as they man, I didn't cry as much at my wedding. The ship doesn't sail because it has no rudder. Without our staff, Rudy, Andrew, Brian, and Chelsea, who are all back home in Edmonton, looking after the shop over here, it certainly, without all of them, nothing happens. Because, I can't do it myself, and even both of us can't do it ourselves. But thankfully, I've surrounded myself with some brilliant people that can allow us to do everything that we think is important to be done. So we thank the Schusters very much for this recognition. It's an exceptional honor, and we promise at this point now to continue doing it and, what we're doing, so that in 10 years, when we're eligible again, we can be back here.
Comics in Alberta. Our next two presenters are regular features here at the Joel Schuster Awards, and they are perennials, of course. So our next award is going to combine the old adage? The adage, I believe how it's pronounced. The adage of something old and something new to present the Joel Schuster Award for Outstanding Web Comic Creator or Creative Team, the host of Ed and Red's Night Party, Ed the Sock, and the lovely Leanna Kay.
Tony nominated Avenue Q on Broadway. It's a wonderful song.
do some kind of smut, right? Or do some kind of dirtiness into these August proceedings. I was just trying to introduce some culture. Would you prefer I do something more like from a classic, more recognizable musical? Maybe it's a Old Man River. Old Man River. Would you like that better?
Dave Sims, our house singer. Moving on. The internet is...
Reporting.
Okay, is this a customer and puppet joke?
You making fun of my ethnicity?
The internet is a phenomenon which has changed the way people read comics. But, as Marshall McLuhan stated, the medium is, at least partially, the message, making web comics a new art form in the ever-widening sphere of the popular arts. And, of course, technology always works. To recognize this and honor those bringing comics into cyberspace, we're proud to present the first ever Joe Shuster Award for Outstanding Canadian Webcomic Creator or Creative Team. Now, do you want to say who the nominees are?
You're oppressing me.
Say the nominees before I oppress your face.
I know I'd like to oppress my face. All right. And the nominees are
of their collective achievements would take the entire length of this award ceremony.
So I'm going to start now, and should be done in about 3 hours. What you're about to hear is just a sampling of the accomplishments of 4 incredible Canadian talents. So without further ado, to induct our first 2007 Hall of Fame recipient, please welcome the Joe Shuster Award Band Designee Liaison Francisco M. Rosa.
Albert Chartier was a pioneering Quebecois cartoonist who, despite his dynamic, versatile style, was unknown outside of Quebec throughout his career. Albert's first comic was the Daily Cougoul, which debuted in the Quebec newspaper in 1937. In 1940, he moved to New York, where he worked as an illustrator for the Columbia Comic Corporation and Big Top Comic. After Canada entered World War II, Chartier gave up a promising career in the U.S., including an application to the Walt Disney Company to enlist as a staff artist at the Information Office of Ottawa. In 1943, Albert created Onizin, his most beloved character, for Le Bulletin des Écrits plus tard du Québec. Onizin struck a chord with Quebec. It was smart, it was thoughtful. His subject material dealt with everything from historical figures to aliens, plus a great deal of slice of life, middle class storytelling. A similar formula has rocketed English language animated hits like The Simpsons to iconic status. Chartier continued to produce successful trips, Séraphin, Les Canadiens, Kiki, Suzette. The extraordinary concept kept coming, displaying a dazzling variety of art styles. Albert Chartier died on February 25th, 2004, leaving behind a legacy of greatness and a spirit of patriotism which can now be proudly shared with the rest of Canada through his induction to the Canadian Comic Book Creator Hall of Fame. The Joe Shuster Awards are proud and privileged to induct Albert Chartier to the Canadian Comic Book Creator Hall of Fame. Family unfortunately couldn't be with us tonight, so I'll be taking this back to Quebec for them. Thank you very much. And now, to honor our second 2007 Hall of Fame inductee, please welcome Montreal illustrator, animator, and art contributor to the gigantic banner behind me, my good friend Gabrielle Morissette.
So like many people in Quebec, he started doing underground comics, Quebec style, under the pseudonym Zix. He founded the Coopérative des Petits Dessins, the little drawing co-op in 72. They offered strips to newspapers, and the one did was called Le Sombre Filin, the talking villain, about this. And we went on about bombs and the floods take over the world and so on. And their client went folded in 76, so they moved on to other things. So in 79, he created the magazine Code, meaning fang, humor with a bite. For once, this magazine worked. It really, really worked. It became a big hit, critically and financially. And he invited a lot of other cartoonists to with the toys, basically. And he started he created a safe space for the other artists to do what they do best, to write and draw funny stuff. So, and Charles had been very happy to just go, but he went on with other things. He launched a magazine called Static, which, like its namesake, eventually signed. They did go on
and was devoted to comics. I then launched another magazine called Anormal, Abnormal, Nasty Humor for Teenager, Hopelessly, Bad Quebec, and numerous graphic novels like Michelis and his spin-off Red Catcher, Hair Catcher. But our thing was come to pass and co-passed on. But it's not forgotten. Many co-alumni went on to create feature films, television shows. Some became newspaper columnists, and there's even an actor or two who worked that role. For me personally, while I was working for the U.S. market in the 80s and 90s, I was also working for Coles, and in a style totally different than from my U.S. work. And I would experiment all the time. I would do like a four-page story with in the style of Wyatt Wood, then an illustration inspired by Dan Wilson. And I was never told, you know, hey kid, stick to one style. You know, I would be free to experiment. But to me, the real reason why Checkers to Bees should be in the Hall of Fame is that when I was a kid, and it was watching this show about comics, and they would have, you know, a 5-minute little feature on this guy coming and talking about comics in French and English. And I was a fan of the classic stuff, Ben X, Derek, Batman, Superman. And he was telling us that the best comic in the States at the time was Swamp Thing, drawn by Ben Erickson. So I figured, oh, I'll check this out. And I became a big Ben Erickson fan and discovered it was other things than Superman, Batman. And of course, that time the feature was Checkers to Bees. So it's my pleasure to introduce and end up Checkers to Bees in the Jewish Newspaper Hall of Fame.
Sorry, I'm
Shanghai. And Native Chinese Doctrine is the Dumbledore Order of the Unique Creator Biography. I have to live with this guy, Blake Bell.
Ladies and gentlemen, the golden age of Canadian comics is something that is referenced far more often than it is understood. We are honored tonight to be able to relive a small piece of that wonderful time through the career of Gerald Lazar. In 1943, Jerry Lazar left school at age 16 to draw comic strips for Bell Features. Bell Features was one of four Canadian publishers, which sprung up in the 1940s to counteract the sudden disappearance of comic books from Canadian shelves. Despite the medium's popularity, the War Exchange Conservation Act of 1940 barred the importation of American comics, and Canadian artists, many of whom, like Jerry, were adolescents, stepped in to fill the void in much-needed wartime escapist entertainment. Inspired by the work of Alex Raymond, the creator of Flash Gordon, Jerry created such strips as Nitro, The Wing, The Dreamer, Drummy Young, Phantom Rider, and Airwolf. This was a wide-ranging time for Canadian comics publishing. Without the pressures of the overpowering American side of the industry, Canadian comics covered a wide variety of genres: humor, science fiction, superheroes, westerns, and of course, war. Throughout World War II, populist entertainment like comic books provided much-needed boosts in public morale and welcome distractions from the horror of the news coming back from Europe. Unfortunately, when the ban on American comics was removed, the golden age of Canadian comics came to an end, and artists sought work in other fields. Jerry was no exception, and shifted his focus to commercial and magazine illustrations, including work for Saturday Night Press. In 1956, he went freelance, and his career included work for magazines, books, and television. In the United States, he created historical paintings and murals for museums and governments. Lazar joined the faculty of the Ontario College of Art in 1966 and returned to gallery painting in 1974. As an illustrator, teacher, and fine artist, Gerald Lazar fills a sizable chapter in the history of Canadian art and has an impressive resume of corporate clients. However, his successful career in commercial art was, by his own admission, greatly due to the head start comics gave him in black and white illustration. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me in inducting Gerald Lazar to the Canadian Comic Book Creator Hall of Fame.
Somebody back at the room, in the back part of the room, said, "Thank God." So I will try and be brief. But there are a few things I'd like to say. And I want to thank you all for this great honor. And I find the comic world is a very caring world, not like the world I'm in now, the gallery world, which can be pretty cutthroat. Back in the 40s, the love of drawing was really my big thrill. I loved the comics, and the big Saturday color comics were around then. There was no television, but movies and radio, the Green Hornet, and all the great serials were on radio, and they were my inspiration. The local variety shops had every month they had comics for something like a dime, all the comic books, and all this dominated my world then. And I was 15, 16, and all through public school. The war presented me with an offer I couldn't refuse. I had sent in some drawings, some very poor drawings, I thought, to Bell Features, and Cy Bell called me up and said, "You want a job?" And Murray Karn, if anybody remembers, there are historians who, in the States especially, who phone me now, and they can remember all these things, things I'd long forgotten. We're talking about 60 years ago. The draft had come along, and so Cy offered me a job. I was in third year high school, and there was no way I was going to stay in school. I had to take that job. It lasted for three years. Chances like this only come once, and they quickly passed by, as the whites did after the war. But by then, I was on to other horizons. Austin Briggs, Noel Sickles, those people who ghosted comic strips were illustrating for the Saturday Evening Post, and they became my heroes. So I illustrated for a number of years, and eventually became a painter 30 years ago, and I've been painting my pictures from the very beginning, from the age of 16. And I want to thank some people. My real impetus was the joy of drawing. There is nothing like it. It's a gift. If anybody just likes to draw, all you need is a pencil and a piece of paper and your imagination. That's heaven. Who could ask for more? And I'd like to thank the nominating committee who remembered me. I would also like to thank poor James Woolley. I think he's a very talented and a very sensitive man. And also there. I'd like to thank Rob Pincombe. Is he here tonight?
I'm afraid not.
Sorry?
I'm afraid not.
No. Okay, well, he brought me together a couple years ago with my old friend Fred Kelly for one last time.
Yeah!
And I want to thank you for that. Unfortunately, Fred is no longer with us. We were going to go fishing, and he's gone. I'd like to thank Roy Thomas and Alter Ego, who phoned me from South Carolina one day and said, "Jerry Lazar, we want you on a panel." And I couldn't believe it that anybody would even remember me and going back that far. The Americans have always been good to me. My wife and I belong to a big society in New York. We're one of the few Canadians, and they're so generous and wonderful to us at their big painting show that they have every year in the country. I'd like to thank my students. I taught at the college, and they didn't have comic courses, unfortunately. Scott Cooper, is he here tonight? He was one of my students, and he's gone on to...
I was one of your students.
Were you?
Yes, he was.
And what's your name?
Ty Templeton.
I have another one over there. Yeah.
Well, Ty Templeton, I was one of your students back in the 80s.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what was your name? Okay, great. Anyway, I have a lot of students. And they want to do comments, and they come into my painting class, and I say, okay, you know, let's have some critiques. Do them on the slide, bring them in, and, you know, we'll talk about them. now we have a great comic world in Canada, and I couldn't be happier. I'd also like to thank Dave Sim, who is here, I think.
Yes, he's behind us.
Oh, he's up next. Anyway, he gave me an interview a number of years ago, just when I was beginning to start to paint. And I'd like to thank him for that interview. I thought it was a great interview, and it's been published again in Alter Ego. And I would really like to thank the immortal Alex Ray, who I will never forget. And he sparked the love of art in me when I was just a child that has sustained me for a lifetime. We are so lucky to love art, I think, and the need to share it. And I would also like to toast Joe Shuster. I wish we had wine here. Anyway, I'd like to toast Joe Shuster, whether it's water or not. Wherever he is, probably meeting a deadline. And I want to thank you all very, very much for this.
Of the night, we have the 2006 Hall of Fame inductee, living legend of independent comics, web blogger extraordinaire, and lead vocals of the Joe Shuster Awards Cabaret Singers, Mr. Dave Sim.
How do you condense the most significant person in your life into an awards introduction form? That's the problem that I'm facing here. It was Howard E. Jean Day who taught me everything I needed to know to be a success in the comic book field. It came down to three key points: discipline, discipline, and discipline. Discipline, and then he went without fail and pretty much immediately to the drawing board each day. Discipline, and that he stayed at the drawing board long, long hours once he got there. Discipline, and that he was productive through each of those long, long hours. But the discipline didn't stop there. He also went upstream, as they say in Gananoque, Ontario, to get the mail every day. Box 1165 at first, box 207 late. They went through it in a hurry, skimming notes from old friends and acquaintances, only after he had gone through the business mail. Return submission with rejection slip. Another rejection slip. Another rejection slip. Payment check, payment check. Comp copy of a book he had done an illustration for free. Rejection slip, rejection note, or rejection letter. Quick scan to see what they had objected to. Should he hit them again, or were they a lost cause? He did that for years on end, absolutely bloody years. $10 for an illustration, $20 for a full-page strip, a half-cent a word for a story, and on top of that, he published Dark Fantasy, a digest science fiction and fantasy magazine. Out of the Depths is one published foray into semi-pro comics. He kept all of us DF guys psyched and encouraged, usually beyond our meager abilities time. He was the lead dog, and we all sprinted to keep up, to try to keep up anyway. Most of us who came out of the Dark Fantasy crowd with a career owed that career to Gene and the example that he had set. Discipline, discipline, discipline. He had planned a magazine-sized comics anthology title called Hellhound, another comic book-sized anthology called Black Zeppelin, and an adaptation of Robert E. Howard's Pigeons from Hell when Marvel Comics, the house that Jack built, came calling. And that was pretty much it. He started inking and blew them away in New York with his reliability. Back in those pre-FedEx days when it would take 4 or 5 days for a package of penciled pages to make its way from Manhattan to the gateway to the Thousand Islands, those 8 or 10 days had to be made up in order for Gene to stay competitive with inkers who lived mere blocks away from Madison Avenue South. And he stayed competitive. So competitive that when Mike Zack left Master of Kung Fu, Gene, the inker, was asked to take over the book in pencil and ink. He rose to the occasion as he rose to every occasion. He did a weekly political cartoon called Captain River Rat for the local weekly newspaper, the Gananoque Reporter, in exchange for free photocopy. He photocopied the pencils of every Marvel comic that he inked, and he photocopied his inks as well before sending the job back. After a couple of years looking at the mound of stapled photocopies that dominated the used dining room table to the left of his drawing board, I often thought that the reporter is probably still paying for the 11x17 photocopy paper and toner that he used during those years. Howard Gene Day belongs to his family. His mother hated the name Eugene, and so gave him the middle name in its diminutive form. Of course, Howard Gene Day could not resist changing that middle initial to closely match that of one of his many heroes, Conan creator Robert E. Howard. As a result, Howard E. Day has belonged and belongs to all of us who knew him, all of us whom he inspired, and all of us whom he left behind. All the Dark Fantasy House of Shadows contributors, subscribers, patrons. Howard E. Day belongs to the ages, and today at last, he belongs in the Joe Shuster Awards Canadian Comic Book Arts Hall of Fame. I'd like to introduce the youngest of the Day brothers, David Day, who I first knew when he would show up once a week at the studio for Gene's drawing lessons, paid for by their mother, their dad, maybe you can tell us, David himself, and who is today an accomplished artist in his own right, like older brother Dan. I remember Gene telling me once about an art teacher of David's who had told David that it was critically important when doing a pencil drawing that all the dark areas needed to be shaded in completely. Evidently, David replied that according to his older brother, who was a professional artist, and not just an art teacher, that it wasn't necessary to shade in all of the dark areas completely. Gene had a special facial expression for those moments when those widely divergent sides of his life met in conflict as they did here. In the case of this anecdote, the meeting place was the unquestionable artistic success that Gene had made of himself on Madison Avenue South in Manhattan, versus the inborn unpretentiousness of a resident of small town Gananoque, Ontario. His own natural and unfeigned modesty about his own accomplishments versus his own long-standing anti-establishmentarianism rebelliousness, and what was his consequently inescapable secret admiration for a younger brother willing to mouth off to his elders. And the rock in the hard place that those opposing forces put in between. The facial expression looks something like this. David, come on up and let's make it efficient. David Day.
Heroes were, you know, Kilofer or they're also very mine with Gene. I wanted to be him so bad. Who? He was everything. And they gave him this award, you know, wow. Amazing. It's come to September, 25 years, Gene passed away, and I still think of him all the time. Thanks.
The evening. Does anything comic book fans love to do? It's arguing. Yes, nothing lights up an internet message board more brightly than a flame war between fans discussing the moral implications of Marvel's Civil War. So, when award shows announce nominees, fans everywhere rejoice and sharpen their carving knives. How could you leave this artist out? That writer, he's a hack. So the awards committee decided to let the fans have their unfettered, unrestrained say. Very, very dangerous initiative. Last year, the Writing Award for Fan Favorite International Creator was unveiled. This year, fans could also nominate any Canadian creator in English and in French for the Joe Shuster Award for Fan Favorite Canadian Creator. Tell us how the dust settled. Here are two women of comics that people think twice about messing with, Gail Simone and Nicola Scott.
Response that the fans are hoping for, and it may not get that kind of attention, but the fans love it, and this is an award that was created where the fans vote for their favorite thing, and I think sometimes that's one of the most honoring and flattering types of award to get, is from the people who actually really like your work.
The question was posed, if you could nominate any Canadian creator, who would it be? That was posed to the voters online at the JoeSchusterAwards.com website. So there was no nominating committee, there were no judging panel, just the fans, their computers, and their very strong opinions.
And the results were surprising. Over 50 different creators were nominated, the majority of which were already represented in the Joe Schuster Awards, which was a reassuring sign that the nomination selections, the official awards committee, reflected what the fans were enjoying also.
The field narrowed down to a short list of English and French fan favorites. On the English list side, these included Dex Sim,
Jay Torres,
Ryan Lee O'Malley,
Darwin Cook,
and two web creator teams, Faith Erin Hicks and Robert Koffler. Oh, sorry, and Ramon Perez. In the minds of the unrestrained masses. Let's find out. English. Not just up.
Yay! Okay, now if I can figure out how to open the envelope, we're home free. The Joe Schuster Award for Fan Favorite English Language Canadian Comic Book Creator goes to... Where's the drum roll, people? Okay, I think I'm going to be able to figure out how to open it. They don't want anyone to know ahead of time, aren't they?
Sealed on three sides.
Yeah. I can't do a Rubik's Cube. Why can my Wi-Fi be able to do this? Okay. And the fan favorite award goes to Dan Kim for April and May and June and Penny Tribute.
Pascal Girard,
Gilles Delisle,
Jimmy Barlow.
Beaulieu.
Thank you.
Jean-Louis Tripp and Regis.
What's it?
Lavazelle. They already told me I have an accent, so you already can't do it.
And the Joe Schuster Award for the fan favorite French language Canadian comic book creator goes to.
Drum roll!
It's not even in that we read out. Yes. Le Pastique by Michael Rabot.
Michel Rabot de Biatique, pas la page.
Hold it up, Brian! Hold it up! Yeah!
supposed to join us by telephone this evening, as it did last year, but an emergency is preventing him from taking the call. So I'm accepting the award to take him to San Diego, as I did last year, and my name is Kevin Boyd. Brian a few weeks ago, he was very honored, and thanks everybody for voting for him.
I'm pleased to announce these are now officially the 2008. Hopefully it will be done by the turn of the millennium. We would be remiss if during the celebration we didn't drop something on the floor. We would be remiss if during the celebration we didn't take time to pause.
Four.
We didn't take time to pause and give thanks to those in the comic book universe who have given their lives for truth, justice,
and the Canadian way.
Stanley, the invisible man.
Writing, And we got a celebrated writer to present it, and we let him write himself his own intro. So it sucks. His own fault, because unless he went by the Marvel method, in which case you blame the black suit. Would you welcome, please, Joe Shuster Award winner and Eisner nominated creator, Kari Andrews.
Hi, I'm Kari Andrews, and this isn't the script, I'm sorry. How's it going? There's one point where I wanted to start working with great writers, probably right now, in my scripted dialogue here, I'm sorry. The nominees for Outstanding Writer are Ian Boothby for DC Infinite Holiday Special, Futurama Comics, Simpsons Comics, and Simpsons Super Spectacular. Darwin Cook for Superman Confidential. John Riley for Cthulhu Tales, Ninja Tales, Pirate Tales, and Diamond Tales of Death. And I'm here for Civil War to the Sides and Revolution on the Planet of the Apes. For Cartoon Network Block Party, Hi Hi Puppy Yami Yumi, Teen Titans Go, The Batman Strikes, Ninja School, The Grassy, The Next Generation, Extra Credit, Love as a Foreign Language. Joe Shuster Award goes to Mr. Darwin Cook.
I'll just keep it brief and say they picked the wrong guy. There were better writers on the list, but I really do appreciate it, and thanks very much. Our next presenter is no stranger to these awards, to Jerry Lazar perhaps, but not to the awards. He is a multiple nominee and 2005 winner of the Outstanding Writer Award. A veteran writer and artist, he has given back to the Canadian comic book community through various workshops and is a prominent figure on the national writing landscape. He's a gentleman that I've been proud to call a close personal friend since we both had hair. Hopefully he'll continue to give back, even though we had him present right after he was nominated for an award, which he did not win. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my dear friend, Canadian comics luminary, Mr. Scott.
Rock's house every night, plucking out three or four hairs a night. I don't know what happened to mine. When I'm writing a comic that someone else is drawing, I'm very aware that that's the person that's going to sell this comic. They are going to bring in the fans. They're going to bring in the attention. Because let's be honest, I like the attention us writers get, but let's be really honest, the artists and the people are going to sell these books and everybody loves. And this year, it was an astounding pool of art talent, and as I look at the list of nominees, I'm sitting here thinking that we should rename this award, at least for this year, and instead of calling them the Outstanding Canadian Comic Book Artist Nominees, let's just call them the Outstanding Comic Book Artist Nominees who happen to be Canadian. Because as far as I'm concerned, they're wonderful at any venue. And they are Adrian Alfona for Runaways from Marvel Comics. Star Wars Dark Times. And if you look at that, you see what I mean.
hand over the neat envelopes. And the outstanding comic book artist who happens to be Canadian for 2007. Darwin Cook. Yeah. Thank you.
I would like to apologize to Gail and Nicola for my earlier outburst. I hope they realize I was just kidding. And thank you very much. Thank you very, very much.
Should we sing?
No. The show, perhaps better henceforth known as the Bronwyn Cook and Kim of Perusa. Hopefully you enjoyed yourself. If not too bad, bring more before the show next year.
Speaking of which, the convention party is in the bar, in the hotel bar. We have a final request for the winners. Come on up to the front here so people can take photos of you, with you, and beside you. And even have you take their photos. And
we have another request for the people who didn't win. That over there is a little merch table with signed stuff by some of the very people you have honored here this evening. So grab it now because it's going fast.
Yeah. Well, that's easy. Yes. Spend some money.
Spend some damn money. And in return for which, we're going to give you cake.
Cake.
Can't beat that.
And I want to say, finally going out, I teased him earlier, but let's get James Whaley up here.
Yeah.